guys.
It's good to be here. It's been, I think, a few years. It's always a good to, I always enjoy coming here. Appreciate the brothers that I've gotten to know in the past number of years. And the friendship we have created in the last number of years, too, by fellowshipping with each other back and forth. So it's a blessing to be here this morning. Let's bow for a word of prayer before we start this, before we go into the message this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we pause before you again with thankful hearts, Lord. We live in country, Lord, in a country we still have so much freedom. We can come together, worship you. We can serve you in many ways. And Father, we thank you for that this morning. And Father, as we gather in this place this morning here at Bern, we pray, Father, we'll bring your presence in with us this morning. We pray your spirit upon your word. We pray, Father, anoint your word with a holy fire. That only, it's your word, Lord, it's not me. I'm a mouthpiece in your hands, Father, that you can use this morning to bring glory and praise to each one. You know where each one of us are at, Lord. You know the needs in each one of our hearts and lives. You know the struggles that each one of us are facing. And we face them, if we're honest, Father, day to day. Life is full of challenges. The Christian walk is a journey you've called us to. And Father, we ask you to come into our midst. I pray for the congregation back home. Bless them. Bless the brothers who share back home and minister to them, Lord. Can minister to the church back home and bring life-giving manna to them, Lord, and encourage each one back home. We entrust this morning into your hands and ask you once again, Lord, as we invite you into our midst, open the word of life. It is your breath. It is your word. It gives us life, gives us hope in this dark and sinful world. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'd like to share with you this morning is a message I've preached. I haven't even preached it to our local church. I've preached it to two different churches. But it's a message when I was asked, you know, it came to my mind, you know, when Alan asked me to preach. I had it on my mind that, you know, it's a message I feel is a message that gives us, it's good at any time of the day in a Christian journey. We're all on a journey this morning. We're all called on a journey. But the journey isn't always easy. It's full of rough roads, full of turbulence as we go on this journey. So I got this message from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. There's an incredible, beautiful promise we get in these three verses that God has given us. And out of these verses, this message came. So I'd like to read these three verses and then go through them, what the words mean that God is emphasizing in these verses to us this morning. He says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled to for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. It is the verse 19, which is the key verse, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, for both sure and steadfast, and which entereth that in within the veil. It is these last verses, which hope we have. Where do we get the hope from? The promise that God gave us through Abraham. And he said, what I promised you, I confirmed with an oath. Because what is an oath? An oath is affirmation of or declaration made with an appeal to God for the truth of what is affirmed. God affirmed that through Abraham. And then he said, it is immutable. What does the word immutable mean for us this morning? Unalterable, not capable or susceptible of change. The promise that God has given us cannot be changed, will not be changed. He said that hope we have in him through these verses is like an anchor that is sure and steadfast for our soul this morning. So the title of the message is this morning, will your anchor hold to life's challenges? Or will your anchor hold to the storms of life? Life is full of it. We all face them. But you know, so many times when we face those things inside we're full, not sure where to go, but outside we put on a facade. We've learned to hide what's going on inside. And we're battling these storms that come day in, day out. The challenges come. We battle them with ourselves. I want to keep going here, but before I do, I want to share these things. Some of these are from my own life. You know, we were hit harder during COVID, and it's during COVID years that we had that I know twice I came to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I can't handle these things. They're out of my control, but I know they're not out of yours. I know you want to show me something. Help me to trust you. Help me to rest in you. Life was normal. I went to these commercial job sites where people's lives was an absolute mess. And I said, my life is normal. They looked at me. I said, my life is normal. I know who I can trust. I know who is there. And it's that steadfast anchor we have, which is in Jesus Christ. Because everything else that we'll hold on to with tangible things will not last. But the anchor we have in Jesus Christ that is steadfast and sure, it cannot move, will not be moved. So we hope. The hope we have as Christians is based on two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Consider them, God's promise and God's oath. So what is the promise? And what is the oath? The promise is the one given to Abraham that his seed should be blessed. And in his seed should all nations of the earth be blessed. The questions are, to whom was the promise made? And who are the seed? The seed is our Lord Jesus, through whom all nations are blessed. This promise was made not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We Christians are the seed of Abraham, since our Father is the God of the faithful. Therefore, God's promise is established securely for all who are faithful to him as Abraham, who was faithful to him. Abraham believed God's promise and walked in the steps of faith as an example to us. All who are faithful to Christ himself will be blessed as sons of Abraham. Abraham was promised, but the promise didn't come right away. The promise came 25 years later to make it absolutely impossible for humanity to realize it is possible to do what God said. But God reminded him when he took things into his own hands. The promise will stay the promise. I promised you. Sarah laughed, but God said, I promised you. When it was humanly impossible, God fulfilled what only God can fulfill. And that is the promise God still has for us today. What I promised you will stay. It cannot be changed. And I will follow through, even though you might think it is impossible. But the promise will come. The promise will stay what I made with all of you. So what is the oath? It is the oath that the Lord swore to Abraham after he had offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice to God. This is the oath of his priesthood. Our Lord Jesus is our priest who has finished his sacrificial work and has already gone within the veil and is now seated at the right hand of God. And the Father forever, his priesthood is abiding eternal affinity, which means forever on to eternity. That is the foundation I wanted to lay before I go into the message, brothers and sisters. But I want to remind us what a blessed anchor we have this morning. To the soul, it is to know our Lord Jesus and Savior is within the veil. It is there he's sitting because he fulfilled and conquered and made his promise real to each one of us this morning. In the journey called life, we are going to sail through many storms. We are in the world as a ship at sea, in danger of being cast away. In light of everything happening in this world, do you sometimes find yourself feeling frustrated, upset, and betrayed? Because as these vibes come, as these ripples come against the ship of life, we're on a journey. Remember, we're in a boat, and the world is the ocean. As we're going through this ocean, through this life, ripples will come. Our boat will be rocked. The question we have to ask ourselves over and over, will the anchor that I'm holding on to hold my boat stability? Will it be stable as I go through? These waves don't come on in short little waves. Sometimes they come in huge waves. Not sure if it will fill your boat and you'll go down with it. Will your anchor hold this morning? What is the anchor that you're holding on to? When we're pounded by trouble and fear, blown about whatever bad thing we think is going to happen, we can hold fast to Him. And you know, some of you might be sitting here this morning. You might sit here with a troubled heart. You might sit here with some fear built up inside. What are you holding on to? What is the anchor that's going to help you overcome? What is the security that you're holding on to? Is it a tangible thing? Or is it the anchor of Jesus Christ, the promises given us? We're not at the mercy of the weather or the enemy or the mercy of the government. No, we're not. We need a strong consolation in these troubled times where the world is changing at a rapid pace. And that is true. Things around us are changing at a rapid pace. We can't even comprehend how fast things are changing. We're all sucked into it like a vacuum. But what we're holding on to, will it protect us from being sucked in? We're all, like we heard this morning, we're all vulnerable to end up in these prison wall cells. We're no different. We're human. What are we holding on to? What is the anchor we're attached to? Everyone has an anchor that they're holding on to. We all do, if we're honest. But what is it? The only question is, how well does it hold? How well does it hold the anchor you're holding on to? The anchor you've got your boat attached to on this life's journey? If your soul is anchored to your money, what will you do when the money runs out? With a question mark. If your soul is anchored in your career, what will you do when you're fired? If your soul is anchored to your happiness, what will you do when hard times come? They're all real things. They're all real questions for all of us to ask. They're real. We face these things. When we have a prosperous business, all these things, there's a sense of security that goes with it. We can't deny that. It's good. God blesses us. But is that the anchor we're holding on to? Is the promised career the thing we're holding on to? What if the company goes down? What if you're fired? They're all real questions, brothers and sisters, this morning. They can be gone in a moment. What then? What will you hold on to then? If you put your anchor in the sand, it will never hold. You need a place for your anchor to rest so it can't be moved. Nothing in this world will ever be strong enough when you feel your life is falling apart. And you know, sometimes in life when we face things that we didn't expect, it feels like it might just fall apart. There might be some sitting here this morning who've learned to shell up, who've learned to cover up what's going on really inside. A turmoil, a thunderstorm is what I call what's going on inside. And you feel like, you don't understand, my world is falling apart. I might not understand, but there's one who does understand. There's one who can give you an anchor that will hold you regardless what the waves bring. There's Jesus. He promised us. We need an anchor that cannot be moved no matter what happens, which means we need an anchor that is quite literally out of this world. We need an anchor that is not attached to this world, because everything the world is bombarding us with to try and find a security in, an attachment to keep us a stronghold, will fall apart. The only anchor that will last, regardless of how what it faces, will be the anchor of Jesus Christ. It is only Him that we'll be able to find that secure anchor. He'll be able to hold that boat for us as we drive right through this journey of life. Only to Jesus Christ will have that. The world might offer you many things this morning. It might bombard you with a lot of things, brothers and sisters. But will they last? Will they last? The world has nothing to offer to the Christian. Nothing to offer that will last for eternity. It's all for moments. Moments just for pleasure, whatever. Jesus trying to point us to his promise. We often plant ourselves in shifting sand. We probably all have. We found ourselves in shifting sand, leaving our ship adrift and in danger of sinking. You see, people are desperately trying to fasten themselves to an insecure world, forgetting the true anchor that is secure, grounded and deep. Indeed, this world is like a restless sea. Can it be a cruel and dangerous place filled with storms, tribulations, trials, and pains? That's what the world is filled with. That's what it's full of. But not in Jesus. They'll come, but he'll help you walk through them. Satan uses our afflictions to try and move us away from God. His goal is for us to give up. How often do we think of these things? He delights in striking us from every angle so that we give up on God. This is what Satan wants to hear us to say, it's too much. I can't take it. It's too hard. Are some of you sitting here this morning with those thoughts? Are some of you here bottled up inside? These thoughts are real. It's too much. It's too hard. Wave after wave. Ripple after ripple. They don't stop. I shared with an elder. I preached at a different church and I shared with the elder. He thanked me for what I shared. And he said, brother, the waves don't stop coming. They come. They don't stop. I said, so what you're saying to me, your boat is being rocked very hard. What about you this morning? Are some of you facing this morning? Is your boat being rocked, but somehow you've learned what a facade on the outside, I'm hiding it. Nobody needs to know. Is that you? We all have. We all have. We might be strong and big, but inside we're falling apart. Satan wants to wreck our lives. And it does not matter if we lose everything in this life. He doesn't care. First Peter 5:8, he says this: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Have you ever watched a lion hunt? Well, I have. A lion is out there in the Sahara grass. He blends in. Satan blends into this world, brothers and sisters, just like the lion does. The lion is watching, just like Satan. He has a few components he's using. He's using for the old and feeble. He's looking for the weak and the hurt. And then he's looking for those who simply just walk into life without any attention of its surroundings. When he gets this one of them off guard, he makes his jump and he devours. The Bible says that's how the enemy works, just like a roaring lion. He's devouring, he's out there to rob you of everything that God has in store for you. In this verse, the devil is described as a prowling around like a lion, looking for someone to devour. The verse is a warning to be alert and sober-minded and to resist the devil by standing firm in the faith. That is what we will need. But how often do we just go through life not aware, not attentive, not discerning, and we're caught off guard? How often that has happened, brothers and sisters? Reflecting our lives upon our lives, we encounter countless incidences of God's faithfulness in keeping his promises. Yes, we do, brothers and sisters. We read them in the Bible. His providential care, provision in times of need, and guidance through the darkest valleys all bear witness of his unchanging nature. He's still the same God that was 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago in the Old Testament. He is still the same God who brought the prophets through. He still wants to do the same to you. There's one prophet that comes to my mind. That's Elijah. I love Elijah. I love his life. I love the humanity that I see in him. Just vulnerable, just like we are. When he got up and he ran away from Achan and his wife. And God knocked on his heart's door and he said, Achan, where are you running to? He said, they're seeking my life. He was giving up. He was running away. God stopped him and said, no. You're not the only one. There are 7,000 that haven't bowed. God, he had to re-encourage his heart. He needed reaffirmation. He needed encouragement. We all face that, brothers and sisters. When we feel like giving up, just like Elijah did, he ran. God had to bring him back. God had to reaffirm his mind. What you're seeing is not so. I have 7,000 preserved that have not bowed to Baal. You're not the only one left. He felt like he was all alone. How often do you feel you're all alone? Maybe nobody understands you. Is that you here this morning? It's just the battle you're facing. That's how your boat is being rocked. You feel all alone. Elijah was. But let's remember, God came to him. God brought him back. And God said, no, I still have work for you. God brought him back. His promises stand firm, unshaken by the shifting tides of the world. When we anchor our hope in God's unchanging nature and his unwavering faithfulness, we discover a source of strength and assurance that transcends any circumstances or challenge. If we have this, brothers and sisters, what takes us so long in life to turn to that anchor? Why do we find ourselves trying to figure out life's mess ourselves when we know we can't? The battles, the challenges, the storms. Why do we wait so long to give it to the one who's our anchor? Yes, we can be anchored to him in the storms of life because of his great love for us. Some practical things here. Might be some of you again this morning. The storm of doubt. The storm of discouragement. Despair and defeat. They might be the ones rocking your boat this morning. You might be sitting here. You're doubting about something in life. And that doubting has brought discouragement upon your heart. Then the moment of despair comes in. The what ifs. What if? And you feel defeated. Hopeless. Brothers and sisters, we've walked through these things in our lives. And you can read many, many prophets and people in the Bible that faced many things. David is an incredible example in the Bible. He was alone very many, many times. But yet, where did he find his rock, his anchor, his security? Back and forward his life was. He knew there was only one, and that is in Jesus Christ. You might be here sitting experiencing illness, financial difficulties, family problems, relationship problems, or myriad other things we experience in life. And all of these things are real. All of these things happen to somebody. It might be one of you this morning. They're real. That might be your battle. That might be your storm you're facing. It might be your challenge that rocks your boat. And you're wondering, how long? How long will it still go? How long must I be in this boat that's being rock-tossed? I don't know where to go anymore. What are you anchored to? Ask yourself the question, what am I anchored to? You may even wonder at times if you're going to make it. Might be some of you this morning. You wonder because it seems so bleak. Brothers and sisters, I would like to encourage you to hold on to His unchanging hand during this period of time as you build your hopes on this eternal, on things eternal. He promises to never leave you or forsake you, and He has even proved His faithfulness to us many times. He promises to meet on our every need, and He even brings joy in the morning. Our anchors, our believers, are not placed on the sand, but on the rock, solid rock. I like to go into the Bible and read a story, and I want to draw pictures from that as an allegory of our Christian life. You can turn to Acts 27. I'll read verses 13 to 31. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing tents, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempest wind called Euclides. And when the ship was caught and would not bear up into the winds, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and were driven. And we were exceeding tossed with a tempest. The next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and so many small tempests lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood up forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained his disharm and loss. Paul was rebuking them. But it's incredible what Paul then said. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given all them that sail with thee. He given all into Paul's hands. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. However, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were upon to fleet out of the ship, when they had let down the boat, pretending that they're going to just let it go, they were pretending, and they cast anchors out of the foreship. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except they abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. There's four things that I believe we can learn from. Number one, verse 20. The condition of the storm. And then we go down. But let's concentrate a bit on that verse. And let's put it into our practice in our own Christian life this morning. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. When the storm in life is so dark, it seems hopeless that you will survive. Take that picture with you as we go down. Yes, and in verse 4, in verse 22, how can somebody be of good cheer when you face a storm that knows the next moment could take your very life? Paul said, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of man's life among you, but out of the ship. Paul was alone. I don't know how many people were on that ship. He rose up with incredible great courage and said, First he rebuked them for not listening to him from leaving where they left. Then he said, be of good cheer though. Be of good cheer for what? Where's our good cheer in the situation we're in? Our boat is going to be sunk. The storm is so outrageous. There's no sun, no stars. We haven't seen light for days. How can there be any hope in this storm? Do you face a storm like this morning? You feel absolutely hopeless. But it's a beautiful picture in this story. And what do we see? Verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God whom I serve, whose I am and whom I serve. The very presence of God was in the same storm that Paul was in that ship. And God encouraged him. Why did he encourage him? The next verse we see the promise God has. Saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, but God had given thee all them and sail with thee. When God makes a promise, God will not let any storm destroy you. Whatever happens in between until God's promise is fulfilled. God said to Paul, you must go to Caesar. Regardless if the storm comes, this is all going to be a school for you to go through. Every storm in life, it's the same for you and I, brothers and sisters. We get a beautiful picture out of this. And again, in verse 25, be of good cheer. He kept to encourage them. It only shows us, brothers and sisters, how much we need to be encouraged with every challenge that life brings. We cannot do it alone. We need brothers and sisters to stand by us, to encourage us to keep going. And what do we see then? In verse 9, 29, we see four anchors. What were the four anchors spiritually that Paul was using in this story? He had the promises of God. He had the presence of God. He had the provision of God. And he had faith in God. Four anchors that Paul is giving us a picture here. For us to use when storms come. They put them over the board, over the walls of their ship. It hit what it had to hit, and their boat was stable. It gave them time to think. And then, verse 31, except ye abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. How many of us would want to stay in a ship that's being rocked and just about torn apart? The first thing we think about, how do I get out of here? No, Paul said, no. You're safer in the ship, in the storm. Do we understand the picture and the heart that God is trying to tell us here this morning? Now I'd like to go through three of the anchors that Paul showed us in this story. 3 points, three anchors. Number one, the anchor of the presence of God. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Even in the midst of that raging storm, Paul found that he was not alone. Brothers and sisters, neither are you, neither am I. It's a picture, an allegory for our Christian life that we can take from this story. The Lord came to him to minister peace to his heart. Regardless of the storm that tosses your life and my life, the Lord is doing the very same thing to you and I this morning. Do you believe? Do you and I have the same faith Paul had? It was faith that kept Paul. He rejoiced in the midst of it. If we have the same faith, confidence that Paul has in his relationship with the Lord, then we can have faith in his promise to be with us always. And that is the promise that God has said to us. And it's been a promise for me in my Christian journey that has brought me through many things. It's the verse I quote when I'm really struggling. I realize, Lord, you promised me you will never leave me, nor will you ever forsake me. And you know what happens? God gives you rest. We don't understand the present. There are things in my life I was battling for months with, trying to figure out and make sense, until I finally surrendered. I didn't understand the situation, the present. But looking back, I understand. God has this plan for you. He'll do whatever it takes to fulfill it. There might be things you have to let go that you thought were good. You might be battling that might be rocking your boat this morning. But God's will get fulfilled. God's will was fulfilled here. Regardless of the storm, regardless of what the people and the soldiers thought in his boat was going to happen to them, God's promise was going to be fulfilled. He's doing the very same thing for you and I, brothers and sisters. Let's look at another one of these stories in the Bible. It's a shorter one. Matthew 8, chapter verses 23 to 27. But in verse 13, I read it this morning. But in verse 18, he makes a comment of it. Now, when Jesus saw the great multitude about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And then verse 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered within the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him, and he awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the man marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Again, we see an incredibly beautiful picture. In verse 18, God said, let's go into the boat and let's go to the other side. I knew when I preached the message back home in the other church, I knew the size of the lake. The only thing I remember, I believe, was 30 miles wide, 150 feet deep. I'm not sure it was 15 feet long, distance the other way. I'm not quite sure. But anyways, this was a lake that disciples were fishing many times. They were experienced fishermen. And Jesus said, we'll go in the boat, we'll go to the other side. The journey began very peaceful. So does your Christian life. The journey you're on begins very peaceful, brothers and sisters. And then in the midst of that lake, the storm came. It was a storm that these disciples had never seen before. They were fighting with everything they could experience from the storms they had faced before. But not this one. This one was just about to doom them all. Finally, they looked at Jesus and said, don't you care? Why are you asleep? Why don't you wake up and help us? Jesus woke up calmly and he said, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Did I not promise you the other side? My very presence is in this boat with you. I'm facing the same storm with you. I promised you the other side. Do you think this boat is going to go down when I promised you the other side and my presence is with you? Where is your faith? My presence is here in the storm with you. Are you not going to trust me? Would Jesus say the same to you and I? Would he say, why are you fearful? O you of little faith. How strong is our faith? Is the anchor of faith strong enough for you and I? It's the Christian journey, brothers and sisters. We will face those moments. They will come. We cannot change them. But let's remember, God promised the other side. We're on a journey. It has a beginning. And in the middle, it's the work of God. And then finally, the other side comes when it's complete. The journey, we're all called to go on. Many walk away because of the challenges and the storms that life brings. I call storms and challenges character shapers. God is using challenges and storms to shape our character into his likeness. And sometimes these storms have to be pretty severe for God to get our attention to shape our character into what He wants us to be. God will do it. Can we have faith? God knows what He's doing. He brought the disciples through this one. He brought them through. But He had to rebuke them. Jesus, our anchor, will steady our ship when we anchor our lives to Him. He will calm the storms of life that batter our ship and set it adrift in the violent seas. He will hold fast our ship and keep it from drifting as He keeps seas us safely home. He is our anchor of hope, our daily motivation and encouragement when we place our faith in Him. When we place our faith in Him, the anchor of faith needs to be strong. He used Abraham as an example. He wants us to look at that. He wants us to follow that example. He promised. Whatever God promises, like I said before, might take 25 years for us to fulfill too. But God doesn't change. Number two, the strong anchor of the providence of God. Told by the Lord that this storm is a part of God working out His plan in Paul's life. At that moment in life, the storm was the safest place in the world for Paul to be. Are you listening? At that moment in time, that storm was the safest place in the world for Paul to be. Why? Because he was in the will of the Lord, and God was working in a mighty way in the situation to bring about His will for Paul's life. Do you know that God is doing the very same thing in your life and my life? When we look at God's word and we use it, look at these stories and we use them as allegories and put them into the Christian journey, these stories start to make sense what they're there for. And I find myself encouraged in these things because this is exactly what God is doing. He's using these situations in the disciples' life, in Paul's life, the perfect will for them to be in God's hand. And then because why? God was working in a mighty way in the situation that was there to fulfill the will of Paul's life. Put your name into Paul's life and put your name in, and said for Marvin's life, for Fred's life, for Sam's life, for whatever your name is, God is doing the same for you and I. God works in that way, brothers and sisters. This is from a book that I have that I got to see the providence of God. Raymond Edmond said this in a book called Quietness and Confidence. I want you to listen to this very carefully. First, He brought me here. It is by His will I am in this straight place. In that fact, I will rest. Next, He will keep me here in His love and give me the grace to behave as His child. Then He will make the trial a blessing, teaching me lessons He intends me to learn, and working in me the grace He means to bestow. Last, in His good time, He can bring me out again. How and when He knows. Let me say I am here, number one, by God's appointment. Number two, in His keeping. Number three, under His training. Number four, for His time. Think. That is the kind of confidence that will keep you at a peace when the enemy is trying to make you doubt, even while the storm still rages. So do you believe you are there by God's appointment? Do you believe you are there in His keeping? He's going to keep you. Do you believe you're there under His training? Let's remember, the Christian journey is the school of Christ. It's the school of Christ for all of us. Do you believe you're there for His time? Can I remind you that the blessed place for you can be in the storms of life is in the ship, where the Lord wants you to be. In fact, it may very well be the storm and difficulties that sets us free. We don't understand the ways of God. When we're in the present, we want only out. We only see it afterwards, what God was showing us. The storm is not to be feared or avoided, but entered into. It is this anchor, it is the anchors we have that make the difference. That will make the difference, brothers and sisters, this morning. Anchor number three. The strong anchor of the performance of God. What the Lord told Paul and what Paul believed would happen came to pass. Everyone made it safely to the shore. God kept his word. He spared every life and proved himself to be as good as his word. God is able to work it all out. He will get you through the storm and land you safely beyond it. That's his promise. It looks like this morning. It may look like this morning. It may look this morning like the boat is going to sink. It may look like the storms of life are going to prevail. You might sit here. That might be you. There might be somebody you know who faces exactly what that is, what I just said. However, when the waves have all settled down, when the winds have ceased, they're blowing, when the rains have abated, when the storm clouds have moved off to the horizon, you will see that God was in control all along. I can promise you this. No storm in this life will be able to blow you off course. Off the course God has determined for your life. He will secure you during the storm, and he will successfully deliver you to the safe harbor of his glory. Now back to a bit of the phrase. We read of two severe storms. Everybody in these storms made it through. Because God said there's no storm that will prevail over you. What God is saying and determined for your life, he will secure you during the storm and he will successfully deliver you to the safe harbor of his glory. Because in the second story I read, it was very, very clear. The very presence of Jesus Christ was in that boat. The very presence of Jesus Christ is in the boat in your life as you walk through life's journey. His very presence is there. He's going to see you through. He's going to see me through. The question is, do I believe what he said? Is my anchor of faith strong enough? Or is it weak? How strong is your anchor of faith this morning? Corrie ten Boom said it this way. When Jesus takes your hand and he keeps you tight, when Jesus keeps you tight, he leads you through your whole life. When Jesus leads you through your life, he brings you safely home. That is what Jesus does. He doesn't let go. He promised you the other side. He will take you to the other side. Endure the storms that come. Endure the difficulties and challenges that come. The presence of Jesus is with you. He is with me. He's with all of us. Yes, if you'd ask me, I'd be very honest with you. I don't like disruptions. I don't like disruptions. I'm too much of a cookie-cut person in life. Don't disrupt my time. Don't challenge me about it. This is what I'm doing. But no. God has taken a wrench and threw it into the gear sprockets of my life many times, unexpectedly. He derailed the chains of the sprockets of my life many times. When that happens, I've learned the hard way. Draw back. Okay, Lord, you allow this to happen for a reason. There's something you want me to see. There's something you want to show me. I've learned the hard way, the painful way. I'm a very hard learner. But God is patient. God is gracious. And these storms have been challenges for me. And you know, every storm starts up here. Every storm in life starts in the mind. But that's a different message. But this is where we're going with it. If we can stop that storm in our mind, then we know we've allowed God to be in full control. But if we're in control, we have nothing but a storm in our mind. That storm doesn't stop. Why? I know all about it. If you don't sleep for 2 months because of it, you know you've got a storm in your mind. During the day, you can handle it because life, work, you can take care of it. When you lay down to rest and the storm starts in here again, something you can't deal with, something you can't figure out, and you don't sleep for 2 months, day in, day out, you know you've got a storm. Until you, stubborn human being, give up, give it to the Lord, the storm was over. God wanted my attention. He wanted to show me something. Did I understand the present? No. But I understand it now. Because so many times, when God wants to show you something, let go, because I have a better plan for you. Let God be in control. It might be painful. You might not understand. It might not make sense. But we create those battles sometimes more than we should. But He's there. He's patient. In the course of life, we find ourselves from time to time in the midst of some difficult storms. How we handle these trying times will have much to say about our future. There's a great difference between sailing along with a gentle breeze and the struggle of survival that the waves beat upon our vessels and threaten a shipwreck. Oh, how we need anchors that we can count on to see us through the storms of life. Sometimes life circumstances can strip you of everything you feel like you are just barely clinging on to life one day at a time. It's an awful place to be in. But I know people face it. I don't know if any of you face it, but you might. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. We need an anchor that will not let go. Anything else that we have tangible to hang on will slip. It will fail. What will see us through the storms of life? What will we hold on to when there is nowhere else to turn? May I suggest that we learn from the scripture account. We cannot depend upon our own abilities. We will fail. We cannot trust the majority of those people around us. They are just as vulnerable, fallible as we are. I'm not meaning to trust your brothers and sisters. I'm not talking about that. You need brothers and sisters to stand by you. Brothers and sisters that encourage you, to help you through the difficulties and the storms that life brings. Those are not the people I'm talking about. Outside of them, majority have not much to offer to us. It's the unity that God, the brothers and sisters that God wants to have in these times for all of us. Yes, believer life is aptly described as full of storms, full of challenges, and wave after wave of difficulties and trials. Some big, some small, but yet disrupt our daily life. Yet the God of storms is also the God who stabilizes His people in those storms. Let's remember that. Storms will come. God they control. He's also the God that will stabilize your heart and my heart in these storms and challenges that you and I face. He will stabilize it because He's the God of all comforts. He does so by the anchors of his everlasting love and faithfulness. Hold on to them. They will hold your heart, hold our hearts, minds, and lives in all the storms of life. I will start summarizing the message here. What are you facing this morning? Question mark. What storms are raging in your life? Question mark. Let's remember, there is an anchor in the presence of the Lord. Are you sitting here, Lord? Are you sitting here and saying, Lord, I cannot fix my situation. I cannot calm the raging seas of my life. And I cannot still the winds that blow against me. That's me, Lord. I need help today, Lord. By faith, I cast the anchors of your presence, your promises, and your providence, and your performance into my stormy sea. I need faith, Lord, to do so. I am resolved to trust you to walk into my storm and speak peace when it is your will to do so. Until then, I will not fear, Lord. I will not fret. And I will not fight. I will trust you to do what is best for me. The life with anchors like these, anchors set deep in the rock, has nothing to fear from the storm. Have you set your anchors deep in the Lord this morning? It's an anchor that you can hold on to when the winds begin to blow and you feel like you can't continue on. It's an anchor you can hold on to when the waves get too much to handle. It's the only anchor, brothers, sisters, the only one. It's an anchor you can hold to when the enemy gets you penned against a wall and you don't know what to do. It's an anchor you can hold to when your life seems to be falling apart, and no matter what you do, it don't get any better. But if you have that anchor, then you can weather life's storms and life's difficulties. If you have that anchor in Christ, you will be able to weather any storm that life brings, any challenge that life brings. If you haven't, be prepared to be blown about by the winds of adversity. Few things here in closing yet. That's why the hope is called firm. The word means never falling. It comes from a Greek word that combines a word meaning totter, which is T-O-T-T-E-R, or fall, plus the word not. And this is the anchor it gives us. Our anchor will never fall. Our anchor will never slip. Our anchor will never give way. That is the anchor we have in Jesus Christ. Now some encouraging verses in Isaiah 43, 1-3, before I close. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So, brothers and sisters, what an encouragement is to know that you will never face an instant of life on your own. Every step, every valley, every mountain, every crossroad, every turn, every curve, every storm will be graced by his presence. So, brothers and sisters, what is the anchor that we are holding on to? There is only one. And we all need to realize it's the only one that will last. The anchor is Jesus Christ, to the promises given us, to his Son, and to Abraham. What God promised, he will fulfill. He will not change it. He will not alter it. It can't not be changed. What he's given us, that sure and steadfast anchor, the hope we have in Him. God bless you.